DHL delivers bad news to employees and customers. Boeing suppliers deal with a hangover from the strike. And Eclipse Aviation cancels another trade show appearance. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, November 12th, 2008. Just 5 years ago, DHL, the German delivery company, bought Airborne Express and got very aggressive in fighting for U.S. market share against FedEx and UPS. The company made significant inroads and even expanded into the logistics business, providing subcontract inventory and warehouse operations for a number of U.S. companies. But DHL's U.S. business has always lagged its success elsewhere. As the economy began to slip, DHL first tried to sell its U.S. air cargo service to UPS. Now, DHL has announced it will end all domestic shipping services in the U.S. effective January 30th. Customers, many of them businesses, will suddenly have to find alternatives, and 9,500 U.S. workers will have to find new jobs. Those workers may want to fill out applications at FedEx and UPS. Both expect to pick up business abandoned by DHL, which analysts say could mean higher shipping prices, but also better profits for both companies. DHL will still deliver international packages, but Monday's announcement dramatically changes the buyout discussions still underway with UPS. UPS spokesman Norman Black said Monday the scope of the deal just got much smaller. Quote, "The only thing that's left is moving international packages once they get to the U.S. border. That's a dramatically lower amount of volume than what they were originally talking to us about," unquote. Hey, want a good deal on a yellow truck? Even as Boeing struggles to get its production lines back up to speed following a 57-day strike, suppliers who make components for Boeing planes are still being forced to cut back or shut down. The Seattle Times reported on Monday that Vought Aircraft, which produces composite fuselage segments for the 787 Dreamliner at a plant in Charleston, South Carolina, stopped production October 24th as parts for 19 airplanes sat waiting to be shipped to Everett, Washington. The paper reports Vought will furlough roughly half its workers on the 787 project, totaling about 400 people. Joy Romero, the 787 program manager at Vought, explained in a memo to employees on Monday, quote, "Boeing cannot simply turn the switch on and be back up to speed instantaneously. It will take them time to ramp back up to schedule. Obviously, Boeing cannot absorb our 787 fuselage sections beyond the capacity of their own assembly line, which has not been moving. The length of this temporary shutdown will be determined after we receive a revised 787 schedule from Boeing, which we expect within the next 30 days. However, we would anticipate that the shutdown would be at least the same length as the strike, likely longer," unquote. That strike lasted 57 days. If you start from October 24th, that would suggest the next regular paychecks for furloughed Vought workers will say 2009 at the top. The swirl of rumors surrounding Eclipse Aviation intensified this week. Following the company's cancellation of its scheduled displays at AOPA Expo, Michael McConnell, President and General Manager, Customer Division for Eclipse Aviation, canceled his speaking engagement at the VLJ Latin America and Caribbean Conference. McConnell and other Eclipse officials insist financing needed to continue operations is imminent. Two prominent industry analysts recently predicted the company will have to cease operations soon. Suppliers have reported Eclipse has delayed or canceled payment agreements with little or no warning, risking a scenario in which potential creditors could force Eclipse into an involuntary bankruptcy. Check back for updates as the story unfolds, one way or the other, at aero-news.net. An encounter with a large flock of birds on approach to Rome Ciampino Airport resulted in a rough emergency landing for a Ryanair 737 Monday morning. The Associated Press reports flight FR-4102 from Frankfurt carried 166 passengers and 6 crew members. Ryanair spokesman Stephen McNamara says the birds were ingested into at least one of the airliner's engines, necessitating an emergency landing. Ciampino Airport fire official Marco Gimenti told Italy's Sky 24 the airliner's left main gear gave way when the plane landed near the far end of the airport's lone runway. It's not yet known whether the bird strike was a factor in that. The airport was closed for the rest of the day. Photos from the scene show the plane completely intact, but resting heavy on its left engine nacelle. As many as 10 occupants of the 737 were transported to local hospitals. All have since been released. Up next on ANN, unions representing employees of Northwest Airlines face a mad scramble. Rockwell Collins lays off 400. and space station crews are moving on up. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 12th. I'm Paul Plagg. Unions representing workers at the former Northwest Airlines may be rushed into new certification votes before they're ready. As part of its agreement with Delta, the Airline Pilots Association, the union representing pilots at both Delta and Northwest before the merger, was bound to submit an application to the National Mediation Board, seeking a determination that Delta and Northwest now constitute a single carrier. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports that application has now been made. Pilots were the only major group of employees at Delta with union representation, but the Northwest workforce was highly unionized. If the NMB rules the combined carrier is indeed one carrier, those other unions will have just 14 days to show the support of at least 35% of employees in any craft for a union representation vote. If they can't come up with 35%, the unions might lose their rights to represent members from the old Northwest. It's reasonable to assume that Delta would love to see that happen. The company has made its own filing of support for the determination of single carrier status, saying it's important for the integration of seniority lists to begin promptly. The company is also offering non-union employees raises on January 1st, the same day union raises take effect. The International Association of Machinists and the Association of Flight Attendants both say they will file protests. IAM VP Robert Roach contends, quote, "We would be forced into an election before the employees have an opportunity to see what the combined carrier is like," unquote. The controversy follows aggressive rhetoric from the IAM on October 29th in reaction to the approval of the merger by the U.S. Department of Justice. The union, which represents ground workers who have been employed by Northwest Airlines, issued a statement which threatened, quote, "The days when Delta could ride roughshod over their employees is coming to an end. Delta is creating the world's largest airline. The machinist union will make it the world's largest unionized airline," unquote. Looks like the bluff has been called. Rockwell Collins Monday became the latest aerospace company to announce a cost reduction plan. CEO Clay Jones said, quote, "We've had to make some very difficult decisions in order to align our infrastructure and spending to market realities. These carefully considered actions are critical to the long-term success of our company and balance the best interests of our customers, shareowners, and employees," unquote. Those decisions will be especially difficult for about 300 employees and 100 contractors to be laid off nationwide. Rockwell Collins says that amounts to about 1.5% of its workforce. Other cost reduction measures are said to include a reduction in discretionary spending, managing current staffing levels through attrition, and delaying 2009 merit increases for management and the majority of employees for 3 months. The company says its research and development budget for 2009, while it's been trimmed from its original level, will still be higher than it was in 2008. Somebody cue the sound guy to start the theme song from the Jeffersons. Occupants of the International Space Station will soon feel like they've moved on up to a deluxe apartment in the sky. For the past 6 years, ISS expeditions have lived in the low Earth orbit equivalent of a cramped three-bedroom dorm, with a small kitchenette, no fridge, and somewhat problematic plumbing and waste collection. That's more elaborate than any prior space station, but still a bit much when you're staying there for months at a time. But the Associated Press reports that's all about to change. Astronauts aboard STS-126, which is set to lift off on Friday night, will bring with them an extra toilet, additional sleep compartments with individual thermostats and laptop computer ports, a new second kitchenette with a fridge, and a new exercise machine. The changes will allow the station's crew size to increase from 3 to 6. One enhancement more difficult for earthbound apartment dwellers to appreciate is a recycling system that can turn urine and condensation into potable drinking water. STS-126 Commander Christopher Ferguson emphasizes the long-term importance of that capability, while admitting it lacks immediate appeal. Quote, "It's such a repulsive concept that nobody would even broach it. But that day will come on this planet, too, where we're going to need to have these technologies in place, and this is just a great way to get started," unquote. Former ISS crewmember Donald Pettit is returning to help connect the new equipment. He jokes, quote, "It's going to take yesterday's coffee and make it into today's coffee," unquote. Hey, I'll make you a deal. How about I promise to stop watering my lawn instead? Civil Air Patrol senior member and Air Force Colonel Eric Bowe will soon achieve what many dream of and few accomplish, the chance to travel into space. He'll pilot the Space Shuttle Endeavour for mission STS-126. It's his first voyage into space, and he's scheduled to launch this Friday night from Kennedy Space Center in Florida. As you might expect, Bowe says, quote, "I'm very excited to go into space and get the opportunity to represent the nation. It's a great opportunity to see what it's like to go into space," unquote. Bowe is a former Georgia Wing cadet and current Florida Wing member. He says his involvement with CAP as a young man helped him achieve his career goals of becoming a fighter pilot and astronaut. He soloed at age 16 at a flight encampment conducted by the Georgia Wing. Bowe went on to receive CAP's Carl A. Spatz Award, the highest award cadets can achieve. Only about 0.1% of CAP cadets earn that award. Bowe is carrying his Spatz coin with him into space in honor of his CAP cadet experience. In the military, Bowe flew 55 combat missions over Iraq in support of Operation Southern Watch after the Gulf War, and more than 4,000 flight hours in more than 45 different aircraft. His military decorations include the Meritorious Service Medal, Air Medal, and Aerial Achievement Medal. Still ahead, NASA's Phoenix Mars lander is silenced by worsening Martian weather. Southwest plans to add Mexican destinations. And TSA agrees to extend the comment deadline on its large aircraft security program. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, November 12th. I'm Paul Plack. NASA's Phoenix Mars lander has ceased communications after operating for more than 5 months. As anticipated, a seasonal decline in sunshine reaching the robot's Arctic landing site is resulting in insufficient energy to charge the batteries that operate the lander's instruments. Mission engineers last received a signal from the lander on November 2nd. The mission exceeded its planned operational life of 3 months to conduct and return science data, which is only in the earliest stages of being analyzed back on Earth. Among its milestones, Phoenix verified the presence of water ice in the Martian subsurface, which NASA's Mars Odyssey orbiter first detected remotely in 2002. Its cameras also returned more than 25,000 pictures, ranging in perspective from sweeping vistas to near the atomic level, from the first atomic force microscope ever used away from the surface of the Earth. The project team will keep listening for signals, but worsening weather makes the prognosis poor. Southwest Airlines appears to be leveraging its strong financial footing to expand its reach at a time when many competitors are contracting. In June, the airline announced it would add 40 new flights in markets such as Denver and Fort Lauderdale, where network carriers were planning cuts in an attempt to force ticket prices up. In July, Southwest announced it would pursue a codeshare agreement with Canadian low-cost airline WestJet, allowing Southwest customers to book flights to new Canadian destinations. Now, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports Southwest will partner with Volaris to allow service to Mexico starting in 2010. Southwest spokeswoman Olga Romero noted the match between her company and Volaris, which was founded in 2006, is a good one. Quote, "They are very focused on customer service. It's a lot like a Mexican version of Southwest," unquote. The two airlines say they'll announce destinations and fares by early 2010. There's been no indication so far about what airports will serve as links between their networks. The two companies will share revenue from itineraries on which they cooperate. This isn't the first time Southwest has sought an airline with which to partner for flights to Mexico. Its earlier agreement with ATA ended when that carrier went bankrupt last year. Southwest and WestJet in Canada both operate fleets comprised exclusively of Boeing 737s of widely varying vintage. Volaris currently serves 23 cities in Mexico with a fleet of 18 Airbus A319s and A320s, with an average age of just 2 years. The U.S. Transportation Security Administration has acted quickly on a joint request from the National Business Aviation Association and the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. On Monday, TSA extended the window for public comment on the agency's Large Aircraft Security Program by an additional 60 days. The new deadline is February 27th. The two groups made the request October 30th. Despite its somewhat misleading name, the proposal would extend measures such as crew background checks and passenger watch list screening to aircraft as small as 12,500 pounds and bring onerous new security regulations to small airports. LASP has been criticized as an indiscriminate cut and paste of commercial regulations, resulting in an ill-fitting program which threatens to bloat costs and complexity and completely end unique operations such as warbird flights for the public. Andy Cibula, AOPA Executive VP of Government Affairs, praised the agency's responsiveness. Quote, "The extension shows that the TSA is sensitive to the aviation community's concerns," unquote. And finally, online travel community iGoYouGo.com recently surveyed its members and found more than 73% of travelers said they're now spending more time in airports due to flight delays or layovers. That's probably not surprising, but how they're spending that extra time might be. One-third of respondents say they're spending more time in the bar. 36% pass the time by eavesdropping. 16% drink with strangers. And 8% entertain themselves trying to sneak into VIP lounges. Less surprising, 74% spend more time reading. 60% eat at airport restaurants. And 43% are walking the terminals for exercise. Still, 53% say they do things at an airport they wouldn't do anywhere else. Some admit giving their email addresses or phone numbers to strangers, confiding personal secrets to, or even kissing strangers. Perhaps not surprisingly, some of these people say they also assume false identities. Much to the chagrin of the TSA, some frequent flyers say they ask strangers to watch their luggage while they visit the porcelain lounge. Some say they use long layovers for sponge baths in the restrooms. I know, TMI. Nearly 30% of iGoYouGo members say they'd rather go to the dentist than have a two-hour layover. Some airports are way out in front of that idea. They've started providing dental kiosks for use during layovers. Here's how you know layovers are getting too long. 12% of respondents say they view domestic layovers as a chance to get out and explore a new city. When traveling internationally, that number jumps to 26%. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in the first of two segments, ANN's Jim Campbell gets to know AOPA President-elect Craig Fuller. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCast. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.